This sermon was preached by Pastor Naphtali Ogalo of Grace Baptist Church, Eldoret, Kenya, for the Lord's Day, 1st August 2021, during the COVID-19 pandemic restrictions. We welcome you to join with us for worship at Grace Baptist Church, Eldoret. We are located within West Indies Estate on Cargo Street, behind Cogo Flats, Eldoret Town. I bring God's word this morning to you, and by way of introduction, let me say this. A few days ago, some celebrity on the social media described marriage as a scam. And what he meant by that is that it's a con, it's a cheat, it's a rip-off. And he called it a scam because his own marriage has a problem. And his wife has disappeared with the children. We also have heard of those who have selfishly killed their spouses so that they can inherit their property. Friends, marriage is not to be entered into carelessly or selfishly, but is to be taken responsibility in a very responsible way, with great responsibility and thoughtfully, and of course, in the fear of God. When marriage is considered that way, there are at least five things that one ought to bear in mind. One ought to have very clear thinking in these areas. Let me just give them to you very briefly, and this is by way of introduction. Things that should be clear in one's mind when they are entering into marriage. That one, marriage is for lifelong companionship. And two, that it is for delight and tenderness, which is to have its expression in sexual union. In the third place, marriage is to the end that if children come, they may be brought up in a secure home. In the fourth place, marriage has good for the society because it will bring order and restraint and good living in the society. But in the fifth place, marriage is a beautiful picture of Christ and His church. Those are some things that each one of us, already married or those who intend to get married, we need to bear in mind. Now, why am I introducing my sermon this day with these thoughts? It's because last Lord's Day we saw the first part of our passage, Matthew chapter 19. We had read verses 1 to 12, and I was able to preach from verses 1 to 6. I want to read that passage again, verses 1 to 12, and then we will look at verses 7 to 12. Let me read Matthew chapter 19, verses 1 to 12. Now, when Jesus had finished these sayings, he went away from Galilee and entered the region of Judea beyond the Jordan. And large crowds followed him, and he healed them there. And Pharisees came up to him and tested him by asking, "Is it lawful to divorce one's wife for any cause?" He answered, "Have you not read that he who created them from the beginning made them male and female, and said, 'Therefore, a man shall leave his father and his mother, and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh.' So they are no longer two, but one flesh. What therefore God has joined together, let not man separate." Verse 7, they said to him, "Why then did Moses command one to give a certificate of divorce and to send her away?" And he said to them, "Because of your hardness of heart, Moses allowed you to divorce your wives. But from the beginning, it was not so. And I say to you, whoever divorces his wife except for sexual immorality and marries another commits adultery." The disciples said to him, "If such is the case of a man with his wife, it is better not to marry." But he said to them, "Not everyone can receive this saying, but only those to whom it is given. For there are eunuchs who have been so from birth, and there are eunuchs who have been made eunuchs by men, and there are eunuchs who have made themselves eunuchs for the sake of the kingdom of heaven. Let the one who is able to receive this receive it." Well, let us turn to the Lord in prayer as we seek to get ready to understand this passage. Lord God, thank you for your word, the reading of your word. It gives light. Now we do want to have it opened up, explained and applied. And I pray for your grace. Help me, O God, to be faithful to the scriptures. And help all who listen to me, Lord, be able to take in, to think through, to consider these things. And indeed, O Lord, that these would find a place in every heart, that our lives would be regulated by your word, that issues that come up in our marriages, Lord, we will be able to go back to the scriptures to seek to solve them rather than find some quick fix methods. Oh Lord, hear our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. So this passage gives us a wonderful opportunity to think of this very deep, of course also controversial subject. Now, it is not my aim to make it controversial. I will not be able to answer all any anticipated questions, but I'll seek to be faithful to the scriptures, and I trust at the end these things will cause us to seek the Lord more closely. Now, last Lord's Day, when I preached from this passage, verses 1 to 6, we saw two major things. That was the Pharisees asking Jesus question on divorce, basically saying, can one divorce at will? And then the second point was Christ's answer to their question. And Christ told them, God's knot is not easily untied. And Christ showed that in three ways. He showed them by pointing them to the scriptures when he said, talked about the creation of Adam and Eve. He said, have you not read that he who created them from the beginning made them male and female? That is Genesis chapter 1, verse 27. So that was his the first point of proof, the creation of Adam and Eve. And then, in the second point of proof, he then spoke on what I called the basic or primary law of marriage. Verse 5, therefore, a man shall leave his father and his mother and hold fast to his wife. And we learned that the relationship between a husband and wife is nearer, is closer than that between parents and children. In the third place, by way of proof, we saw the nature of the marriage contract, that it is a union of persons. Union of persons, verse 5b, where we read, and the two shall become one flesh. And we also saw it in verse 6. So they are no longer two, but one flesh. And remember, I gave you that marriage equation. One plus one equals one. And showing us that marriage is exclusive and solid. Well, Christ, of course, then came to the conclusion that what therefore God has joined together, let not man separate. Let not man put asunder. And we went home with 2 points to cling to. One, that marriage is God's own business. Husband and wife are of God's joining together. It is God's business. He joins people together in marriage. And we also came away with this point, that since it is God who ordains, who joins people together, then husband and wife should not be put asunder, should not be separated. That is God's design. And of course, there are many questions that could well have come up in your mind, but we must move on this morning and see from verses 7 to 12. Because after the Lord Jesus concluded in verse 6 that what therefore God has joined together, let not man put asunder, that brought another question in the from the Pharisees to the Lord Jesus. The issue of Moses giving permission on divorce. The issue of Moses giving permission on divorce. Okay, I want us to look at it in three ways. As we think of this issue of divorce, there is the question by the Pharisees. They ask a question. And that is captured in verse 7. They said to him, verse 7, "Why then did Moses command one to give a certificate of divorce and to send her away?" You see, the Pharisees surely are seeking to pitch Jesus against Moses, as per Deuteronomy chapter 24. Deuteronomy chapter 24, and I think it's fitting if you're able to turn there. But in Deuteronomy, the fifth book of the Old Testament, Deuteronomy chapter 24, and I read quickly those verses where we find this from verse 1, Deuteronomy 24, verse 1, laws concerning divorce. 1. When a man takes a wife and marries her, if then she finds no favor in his eyes, in other words, he has a problem with her, in his eyes, because he has found some indecency in her, and he writes her a certificate of divorce and puts it in her hand and sends her out of his house, and she departs out of his house. And if she goes and becomes another man's wife, and the latter man hates her and writes her a certificate of divorce and puts it in her hand and sends her out of his house. Or if the latter man dies who took her to be his wife, then her former husband who sent her away may not take her again to be his wife after she has been defiled. And that is an abomination, for that is an abomination before the Lord. And you shall not bring sin upon the land that the Lord your God is giving you for an inheritance. So you need to think then of what was going on, where a man would take a wife, but for whatever reason, whether the food is not cooked well or overcooked. But so this man then dismisses her over some little issue like that. And then this man then marries another woman. But also he realizes, this second woman is no good. And he throws her away, as it were. And in the process of time, he actually wishes to have the first wife back, because he realized that somehow things are not getting better. Well, Moses saw the unending sinful practice in Israel, and so provided some form of allowance, or if you like, some procedure to be followed. Moses said, "Listen, there must be some way of doing this. If you marry and really reach a stage where you honestly feel that you cannot continue in that marriage, then you cannot just put her away. You have to have or give her a certificate of divorce. When you do that, and hopefully you have thought through it, when you've done that and she goes away with a certificate of divorce, then whatever happens, she cannot come back or you cannot come back and say, look, please, I was wrong. I thought you were worse, but I found one who is terrible. And so please come back. No, that cannot happen. And so you see, these Pharisees and Israelites in general, they followed this kind of an act. It became a custom in their day. So they asked Jesus, why? Why then are you different from Moses? That's the law Moses gave us. Well, so that's the first point, that these people question the Lord Jesus. And in the second place, the Lord Jesus gives the response. The response of Jesus. There in verse 8. Jesus said to them, because of your hardness of heart, Moses allowed you to divorce your wives. So you see, Moses was not going or giving you a justification for divorce. No. He was seeking to prevent greater wickedness. He saw the way you people lived. He saw the evils that were going on. You had hardened your hearts against God's word. Sin had brought you, O Israel, to be in a miserable condition. So Moses was therefore providing some soft landing for these poor women that you picked and dropped at will. Oh, friends, sin makes us miserable. Sin leaves us in terrible mess. We need to know that. Sin does not help. It just messes us completely. And that is what was happening in Israel. But then we go on in that verse 8 and we see something. So the Lord Jesus, of course, the first part of that verse 8, Jesus says, because of your hardness of heart, Moses allowed you to divorce your wives. But the second part, but from the beginning, it was not so. You see, Jesus repeats this. Because he has said it before. He repeats this truth about from the beginning. And that has a reason to emphasize to them that this allowance of Moses was temporary. And actually, it was to help the society to behave well. Because there was just terrible lifestyle. And Jesus brings them back to Scripture, to the law of God, Genesis 1:27. So, that's really helpful to remember. Jesus responds by showing them it was the hardness of the heart, but that was not God's plan from the beginning. Well, then in the third place, as Jesus deals with this issue that these people had raised about the Moses and the permission, what now Jesus does in the third place is to state the unchanging law. He repeats the unchanging law. Verse 9. And I say to you, whoever divorces his wife, except for sexual immorality, and marries another, commits adultery. And I say this is repeated because in chapter 5, verse 32 of Matthew, chapter 5, verse 32, the Lord Jesus had brought this same teaching. And it's good for us always to remember that. But you see, as we look at this, the unchanging law that is being restated or repeated, two things come out. They are from verse 9. That one, Jesus allows divorce in case of adultery. Jesus allows divorce in case of adultery. That's what we read. And I say to you, verse 9, whoever divorces his wife except for sexual immorality and marries another commits adultery. So, one, Jesus allows divorce in case of adultery. Now, why? Why? This is because God meant that 1 + 1 = 1 flesh. So, if this woman commits adultery, or for that matter, if this man in this marriage commits adultery, then the law has been broken and God's equation destroyed. And this, my friend, is serious. Because by the law of Moses, adultery was punished by death. Yes. Deuteronomy chapter 22, verse 22. We read this. If a man is found lying with the wife of another man, both of them shall die. The man who lay with the woman and the woman, you shall purge the evil from Israel. You see, but now, what we are seeing in our passage here, remember what I have said, that Jesus allows divorce in case of adultery. The Lord Jesus softens, if you like, mitigates, eases the seriousness of it and points to divorce to be the penalty. There is a measure of grace here. So we need to understand that. That Jesus allows divorce in case of adultery. But not only that, in the second place, we see that Jesus disallows divorce in all other cases. He disallows divorce in all other cases. Now, this is, of course, if you like, the direct response to their question. Remember in verse 4, they had asked, is it lawful? We are back to Matthew chapter 19. Matthew 19 verse 4. You'd remember, actually in verse 3, where they had asked, is it lawful to divorce one's wife for any cause? And simply, verse 9 really would show us that no, it's not for any cause. No. And I want us to understand that Christ is not mean. Christ is not negative. He is actually teaching us the law of love. You see, God is a God of love. From the beginning, His laws are not burdensome. You see, if marriage was allowed anyhow, then think of the disruptions, the injuries upon families and in the state. Think of what confusion and disorder would follow. Surely the law of Christ is for our own benefit. As opposed, really, it is really opposed to the thinking of people, but Christianity is actually a true friend to our secular interest. Christianity cares for the common good of people, the secular good of the people. Christianity is not an enemy, as so often it is taken to appear or to be. No, it's not. But continue to listen to this. Just think of this. If under the law of Moses, the Old Testament law, if under the law of Moses, divorce was allowed due to the hardness of their hearts, but under the law of Christ, divorce is forbidden. Does not this point lead us to learn that under Christ, we are called to bear with one another and forgive one another in love? Think about that. Think about that. You see, as believers, has God not forgiven us in Christ? And so, if we loved our wives as Christ loved the church, and if our wives are submissive as the church ought to be submissive to Christ, should we really rush to sort out our marriages when there are challenges by divorce? And not by returning to God's word? Surely, we go wrong when we forget the scriptures. So, friends, that is the big question responded to when these people asked the Lord Jesus, what? Why then did Moses allow us to give a certificate of divorce and let her go away? The Lord Jesus has sought to answer that. He allows divorce in adultery, but then he disallows divorce in any other cases. But as we have seen, surely we must not rush to deal with issues in marriage through the door of divorce. Instead, we should really work towards loving one another, forgiving each other, bearing with one another as Christ, or God in Christ, has forgiven us. But let me hurry on now and show you in The second place, the issue, what I am calling here, the issue of too hot to handle by Jesus' disciples. Too hot to handle by the disciples of Jesus Christ. And that is, I'm making reference to verses 10 to 12, Matthew 19, 10 to 12. Why do I call it too hot to handle? You see, verse 10 of Matthew 19, we read this. The disciples said to him, "If such is the case of a man with his wife, it is better not to marry." Wow! If marriage demands are that heavy, one rather stay single then. I mean, the disciples are thinking this way. It seems marriage is a curse rather than a blessing. Conclusion, I'd rather avoid marriage altogether. You see, from what we are hearing you, Master, you are teaching that my liberty to marry, to divorce, to remarry is to be so restricted, then better that I don't marry at all. Now, this is strange way of talking or argument coming from Jesus' own disciples. Really strange. Of course, clearly, they had allowed the sinful practice in Israel to become their custom, to become just what they had imbibed it. They had imbibed it. How does Jesus handle this? Where these people say, From what we are learning from you, Jesus, people should not even get married. Well, verses 11 and 12. We read in these verses these things. But he said to them, "Not everyone can receive this saying, but only those to whom it is given." And then verse 12, "For there are eunuchs who have been so from birth, and there are eunuchs who have been made eunuchs by men, and there are eunuchs who have made themselves eunuchs for the sake of the kingdom of heaven. Let the one who is able to receive these receive it." Well, the Lord Jesus, when he heard the disciples respond like that, did not rebuke them. In fact, his words or response to them is very gracious. Now he wants to teach them. It's different from the Pharisees. He must have left the Pharisees out. They must have entered from a parallel passage. They have entered the house, and therefore the disciples asked this question. So Jesus is ready to teach them. Those who are always longing to be taught will be taught. Jesus will always teach us. His word is there for us. But those, of course, who are out to test him, then he will deal with them accordingly. Well, so let's look here. Jesus tells his disciples, "Listen, my disciples, don't overreact. Don't overreact and wish that all be not married. Honestly, all men cannot abstain from marriage." You see, Jesus would be telling them, living pure, that is, living in a chaste way, chastely without marrying is a gift from God. But otherwise, it is proper to get married than to burn with lust. Yeah. 1 Corinthians chapter 7 verse 9 tells us that. It's proper to get married than to burn with lust. But there are those, Jesus tells us, who are able to go through life without marriage. So who are these? Who are these who can live without getting married? Verse 12 now. And there in verse 12, we see three types of people. And the word used to describe them is the word eunuch or eunuchs. Now, a eunuch is a man who has his testicles removed in order to make him more efficient servant or a soldier, so that he's not distracted by lust or sexual matters. But there are three types of eunuchs there. And of course, we will appreciate this word in these three ways. It's used figuratively in one point there. But let me explain. The first lot of eunuchs, as it were, we are told in verse 12, eunuchs by nature. If you like, eunuchs from birth. In other words, God allowed them to be born that way. For whatever reason, medically we would say something is defective in their lives. And isn't it beautiful? It is the Lord Jesus Christ saying that some people are born eunuchs. That is from birth. And there's something there for us to learn. We must not see the devil and behind everything. The Lord is telling us some are born with in a state or described as eunuchs. They are not fit to marry. You'd remember something we are told in the Gospel of John, I believe, chapter 9 there, of one who was born blind. And the Lord Jesus is the one who is talking about that. God is sovereign. We need to learn that. So, one group are those who are born eunuchs. Then the other group, we are told, that is those who were made eunuchs by others. In olden days, some men would be chosen who would then be given opportunities to work in the palace, in a king's palace. And such men then would be made eunuchs. They would honestly go through that very difficult, I'm sure, very painful process. Their own testicles removed so that they were unfit to marry. And so they could work in the king's palace and care for the king's business, including his wives and concubines. Some of them rose in ranks, so that in Acts chapter 8, we read of that eunuch from Ethiopia coming from worshipping in Jerusalem. And being saved, witnessed to by Philip. And then in the third place, we've got those who make themselves eunuch. Now, this is where this word is used figuratively. this kind of a person, of course, born able to marry, but chooses. It's a self-choice that such a person makes that they will not marry and they want to live godly. It's not that they don't want to get married but live a sinful, immoral life. No, but they want to live godly but not involve themselves in marriage. Why? For the sake of the kingdom of God. In other words, for the sake of the gospel. They want to give themselves fully to the service of God. Let me read something like that, because the Apostle Paul was such a person. 1 Corinthians chapter 7 from verse 7. Where we read this from verse 7, 1 Corinthians 7, 7. I wish that all were as myself am, but each has his own gift from God, one of one kind and one of another. Verse 8. To the unmarried and the widows, I say that it is good for them to remain single as I am. Verse 9. But if they cannot exercise self-control, they should marry, for it is better to marry than to burn with passion. And so there we surely read that those three categories or three kinds of eunuchs, born eunuchs and therefore unfit to marry, made eunuchs by others so that they can serve in those olden days in the palace, and then in the third place, those who choose not to marry, and therefore used called eunuchs in a figurative way, and that is for the sake of the gospel. Friends, what therefore do these things mean to us? I just want to give you two things as we close to carry home. And one then is this: marriage surely is a serious business. Marriage is a serious business. It must not be entered into lightly or carelessly. One must count the cost. One must be fully committed. And if one does not count the cost and be fully committed, then really the reaction of the disciples of the Lord Jesus, may be the case where one basically says, I don't want to get married because it's too restrictive. Oh, no. Honestly, let's put it this way. Unless one qualifies to be under one of the three eunuch groups, God's intention for you is to get married and to live godly with your spouse. Yes. And where the Lord brings up children, to bring up those children in the ways of the Lord. Marriage, my friends, is a great means of sanctification. One must not avoid it unless, as we have said, there is or clear reasons for that. Marriage is a serious business. If you are not married, consider very seriously what you are entering into. It's a glorious thing. I said that as we were beginning. It's beautiful. But it must not be entered into carelessly or selfishly. Well, the final place. Challenges in marriage will be there. But challenges in marriages ought to be handled God's way. They ought to be handled biblically. Now, this is because marriage in the first place is God's business. It's God's idea. So surely when challenges come, because we still live in the world and we are sinners, when challenges come, there must be a going back to the beginning, going back to God's original blueprint. There must not be this quick fix method of seeking divorce. I know this sermon has not answered all your questions, but surely we see that marriage is a serious business, and the issues that come up in marriage ought to be handled God's way. Let these thoughts on marriage urgently drive you to the Lord Jesus Christ, who came to seek and to save the lost. And you know, when you are saved, you are actually married to Christ. And you know what? When you are married to Christ, by faith, He will not divorce you. He will not divorce you. Divorce should not be the quick fix in dealing with issues. May the Lord have mercy on each of us. Lord our God, thank you. This issue of marriage, divorce and remarriage is so wide, so deep. But your word is directing us. The Lord Jesus is showing us that it is only when your equation has been destroyed, when 1 + 1 no longer equals 1, flesh. And that happens, then divorce is allowed. And yet, Lord, you are showing us that even when things go bad like that, we must be those who long to show mercy, seek to demonstrate forgiveness, and always live in love and peace. When the husband is loving as Christ loved the church, when the wife is submissive as the church ought to submit to Christ, then divorce in our society will diminish, will grow less and less, rather than a situation where our courts are full of the cases of divorce, with some of these cases rushed to court hardly in weeks or in months of marriage, then people rush to get divorced. Lord, hear our prayer. Hear our prayer. May it not be said of us as it was in the days of Moses, that because of the hardness of heart, divorce was allowed. Help us to demonstrate that having been forgiven our sins, we can actually learn to forgive those who sin against us. Hear our prayer. For these things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.